Thanks for flying Southwest, and we hope to see you back real soon.
Very, very, very happy that the best sport in the world is back in season.
Feels good every time. Every spin, I screamed louder.
Bro, I know we're all football guys and football guys, guys.
Yeah, I'm a football guy.
Jordan dropped Marcus last week. So
oh, God, Jordan!
I have a lot to say about this.
So this is the best time of the year for us.
Psych!
Welcome to week 11. I am your host and Commissioner Rick, here to help you on the meandering journey through the wicked forest of fantasy football. It's another two-parter this week for the pod, and coming out on two of the worst days of the week as well to have two parts come out. But it's better than nothing, I think. To some people might say this nothing would be better. Joining me on the pod this week is the man who's watching us all from above, and that's the only case when he's watching us from above when he's flying above us, because once again, he's stuck at the bottom of the standings. Welcome now onto the pod, Captain F. Scott Fitzgerald. Scooter, how you feeling? What's the mood in the N'Keal Prairie locker room?
Upbeat, Rick. We're pretty excited after our second win in a row. Yeah, it's a good feeling around here. Still looking up, but got some more company in the cellar now.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You narrowly avoided it.
I very much did. I probably should be down in the cellar with you. You beat Brandon, and you yanked him down into the cellar as well. Is this your schedule? I think I brought this up a couple weeks ago, but your schedule is now like a round robin of other teams in the constipation bracket. So you're every week you're just pulling somebody else down into the muck with you. Was that the long con all along?
Well, Rick, the long con is never to end up in the cellar arse. But if I'm going to be stuck in the mud down here, yeah, I'm going to try and grab some of you guys down with me.
Yeah, I absolutely would too. Thank you for letting me escape at the start of the season as well with that one victory, although now I'm terrified about week 14 when we play each other because you're probably going to just absolutely ruin me. I can already sense it.
I hope so.
I can already sense it. My other question to you as well is, do you have anything to say to Pip, once a former Raider fan, for leaving the bandwagon just as the bandwagon is starting to fill up again?
I can't really shame him for it because I, too, have got off the bandwagon. Is he back on the bandwagon? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, he had mentioned that he was off the bandwagon, and I assumed you were still on the Raiders bandwagon. When did you leave the bandwagon? Whose bandwagon did you hop onto?
I think we talked about this like the first pod I was on because I've been off. I'm emotionally detached, man. And as you can see, it's helping me make much better fantasy decisions. And that was a joke. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to root for a team that's going to leave next year. I don't see myself following him to Vegas unless they made the playoffs, then I'll be all in on him.
Classic bandwagon. Okay, I guess shame on me for not listening to a podcast that I host. I didn't realize you had left.
Do you have any recommendations for other teams I can join? If I know Pip is kind of just off the whole NFL thing, but I'm openly looking for a new team.
I don't know. That's tough because I'm certainly not going to say Niners bandwagon because you know they're kind of getting good, and so Niner fans are going to get annoying. Seattle fans are kind of annoying. I wouldn't join any other fans of anybody else on the pod. Definitely don't do the Saints because fuck them forever. I feel like we legitimately need like a Lions fan or a Jaguars fan or something like that on the pod. Just somebody really random to be like, yeah, that's the team now. I think at that point we would have all of the divisions covered.
I thought about becoming a Jags fan when I was down south, but I mean, it's tough there, man. Same for the Lions. Why do you have to pick the two like saddest franchises?
Well, because then you have the hope that one day they'll be better as you root for them, right?
That's not why I'm getting off the Raiders bandwagon. If I wanted the root for hope one day, I would stay on the Raiders bandwagon. I want to win now, baby.
That's a good point. I guess we don't we're not even close to having we're a little over halfway of having all of the divisions covered. So Bills Mafia, I don't know if you like jumping through tables, but you could do that. That might be interesting. There's always room on the Browns or the Ravens bandwagon if you wanted to be a part of that. But just wherever Justin Herbert ends up with next year, maybe that'll be your team.
That's not a bad idea. I was a big fan of that 2000 Ravens Super Bowl team.
Ah, murderers.
I had like a plastic helmet I would wear around. I don't know why I had it, but it was. I had one. Greg had a one that said it was a Green Bay Packers one, and he just wanted it because it had a big G on it.
I wish it was more acceptable to wear like those big weird plastic helmets or whatever, but you just, if you're younger than like seven, it's dumb. But I did, my dad had like a really old like 70s or maybe even earlier like plastic Niners helmet, and it had like the super old school like two bar face mask on it. I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. And so every time I went to my Ninny and Papa's house, my dad's parents, I would throw that thing on and I would run around. I'd be like, this is the coolest thing ever. Like, I've got to wear this helmet for
practice punting.
Oh yeah, any chance that I could, I would just, you know, playing catch inside, running around. I wanted to swim with it in the pool. And I think at that point my parents were like, no, let's keep it inside. Let's not wear it outside.
Oh geez.
All right. So yeah, I don't know. Bills Mafia. That's my official vote after bringing up the sad franchises.
Do I have to jump through tables or eat ass? Because if I have to do either of those things, I'm probably in. I'll think about Bills.
I was just going to say, maybe you just need to, like, you know, throw a dildo or something like that at, like, just from the next time you're flying, just throw a dildo out of a plane, and you can probably assume it landed on a table, and that's basically Bill's Mafia right there.
All right. I'll have to look up the regulations on throwing dildos out of the plane, but I'll see what I can find.
I need that report. So please get that to me as quickly as we can after the pod. So let's get now to the bulk of the pod this week. It's Tuesday. It's very early. The waiver claims haven't even gone through. It's going to be tough to project out these matchups, mostly because people still aren't even checking their lineups as of yet. But we're going to try our best, and we're going to start off with the matchup of the week. The best one to have on a Tuesday, Pip, who is 7-3, versus Fronik, who is 6-4. Excuse me. The Grand Canyon versus the Eifert Tower. Pip had a huge bounce back week with the return of Patrick Mahomes, making his leading scorer Tyreek Hill. Aaron Jones, another week with multiple TDs as well. And Josh Allen is basically the best running back that the Bills have with two rushing touchdowns. Fronik also had a massive week. He was the top scoring team in the league by just 1 point. Christian Kirk went off. Lamar Jackson's a cheat code. And even the Patriots had a Patriots defense-esque scoring week from his Steelers team. This week, it is a huge matchup because Pip can double his lead over Fronik up to two games, or Fronik could possibly even pull level, and he would take the lead on points scored. Pip only has a very slim 1.5-point lead in that area. Pip is without his running back, Packer Monsters. Fronik is without Saquon, but seems to have better wide receivers now. What is the deal with Fronik's wide receivers? Why do we keep thinking they're bad, and then now they're the best part of his team last week?
Yeah, you idiots. I don't know why we'd ever doubt Christian Kirk. Obviously, he's going to put up 30 last week. That's why I didn't trade for him. Yeah, Fronik's team baffles me, and I'll probably say about that, or one of the teams in every matchup this week, but I don't understand Fronik's team. I keep thinking it's bad, and everyone, like, keeps losing people, but yet he scores 150.
I
don't know, man.
It doesn't make sense. Like, he has been holding on to A.J. Green the entire season, and he hasn't even played. Saquon Barkley rushed for 1 yard on 13 carries last week, and he was still the highest-scoring team in the league. Like, I get the importance of how like big of a boost it is when you have someone who's really, really good, like a Lamar Jackson or Mike last year, like with a Todd Gurley. And just, you know, that's really important that you have like your stud guy. I don't understand how he keeps doing it without anybody else, though, which is more or less what Mike had last year, too. Although his team was, you know, slightly deeper, but it's like, how much longer is Lamar Jackson going to run for 75, 80 yards a game and, you know, have a rushing touchdown, have a couple passing touchdowns? Like, that, I mean, it is the NFL, and, like, so, you know, we've seen a huge chunk of the season. Like, he's not going to slow down, but he's got to slow down, right? That makes no sense as I'm talking it through.
MVP. I mean, I don't think he's slowing down until he gets hurt inevitably.
Right.
But it's kind of interesting that one trade that the Steelers made to move Minka from Miami, like, impacted Kronick's team. I don't know if has he had the Steelers on his team, but I mean, Minka Fitzpatrick's like scored more points than, I mean, Ted Ginn has by himself.
Yeah, Fronick added them almost a month ago, which I think was maybe right before their bye week because their upcoming games were pretty favorable. But even still, like, 19 against Cincinnati is a big deal. Even against Baltimore, they still put up 13. They had a couple picks and a touchdown against the Clipper Chargers. Like, they have a super favorable schedule down the stretch as well, because you've got Cleveland on a short week, Cincinnati, Cleveland again, a random game against Buffalo, and then potentially in the championship game, you've got them against the Jets. So you've got basically the number one fantasy playoff defense on your team lined up, which is a pretty big boost.
Yeah, that's nice. That's a lot of nice matchups. Would you, if you were just able to take any one of his wide receivers, so Crowder, Kirk, or Fuller, would you start any of those guys over any of your guys?
Well,
I don't think I would.
Well, just for my team, because I'm really hurting with Brandon Cooks, who has a skull made of glass, I think I would throw a bone at Christian Kirk as a wide receiver 3 on my team. But, like, once my buys clear up and whatever, like, my flex position is pretty set with a running back or whoever I'm going to be playing there. So I would probably take Christian Kirk over Chester Rogers or whoever's on my bench. But if Brandon Cooks was healthy, I don't know if I would play Kirk over Brandon Cooks, which is probably a dumb thing considering how much better Kirk's has been this year over Cooks.
Kirk's and Cooks? Kirk's
and Kirk and Cooks.
Kirk's and Keikos?
Kirk's and Cooksos.
Christian Kirk and Keikos?
That's the one.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be an idiot when Jameson Crowder scores 30 next week, but I don't buy into his receivers. I just don't.
No, they can't be that good. And on the other side, Pip's team probably has the best 3 wide receivers to roll with there out of anybody. Really, the big question mark is DJ Chark. How is his relationship with Big Penis Foles? What are they going to be like coming off of a bye? No Gardner Minshew, because Chark was the number one guy for Minshew, but now a new quarterback into the mix. They're out of the race. They should just be running the ball a whole bunch. How big of an impact do you see that having?
I mean, I think Nick Foles' only touchdown this year before he got hurt was to DJ Chark. Again, don't quote me on that. I was blitzed in the Jacksonville sun. It was like 100 degrees. Don't really remember what I saw. But, yeah, I think Pip will be just fine. Spooky season keeps on rolling for Pip. And he's solid at almost every position except for that tight end. I don't like the tight end. Never liked Pip's tight end.
Yes, Nick Foles had, that was to DJ Chark. Sorry, I was still looking that up. 35 yards to DJ Chark, and then D.D. Westbrook got another touchdown pass from Gardner Minshew in that game. That'll be really interesting. I'm also not the biggest fan of Pip's tight end. I think Hollywood Brown is a pretty decent play against Houston because that game should probably be a shootout. The only thing that's going to come down to is maybe do you want to go? Yeah, I wouldn't play Josh Reynolds because the Bears and the Rams, weak offense running into a good defense. Favor the defense on that one. Maybe get to the point where you want to play Kareem Hunt because it looked like last week, and I know that would be locking your flex up on a Thursday, but it looked like last week that the Browns were very ready to relieve Nick Chubb of some of his duties and give Hunt some carries. And he even got into the end zone, didn't he? So he had a pretty decent week. Didn't get into the end zone, but still 44 receiving yards, 30 rushing yards on 4 carries. Like, he looks pretty rested and ready to go. And I wonder and I worry if I were Pip about how that would impact Chubb.
Yeah, I mean, Freddie Kitchens is kind of an idiot. So not an ideal situation for Pip's Chubb out there in Cleveland, but I still think it's a solid running back play. And Carlos Hyde, not a bad play either, with Aaron Jones on a bye. I mean, he even has Golden Tate on his bench. And Kareem Hunt got some points last week. I don't know, I like Pip's team a lot.
Yeah, his team, again, it's one of those things where on paper, like, his team is that much better. It's going to be, I think the RB2 battle is going to be really interesting between Eckler and Hyde. That could be the matchup swinger, because you think if Lamar's going to go for like 27, almost 30 points again, if he's running like crazy or passing the ball a whole lot, that game should be pretty favorable for him. Josh Allen, a pretty favorable matchup against Miami. This is going to be an incredibly tight matchup. And these two teams, you know, put up 157 each last week, and, you know, it was a 1-point difference. So this is going to come down to the tightest of margins, but I've got to go with Pip because he's got three very legit number one options at wide receiver. And even with Christian Kirk having the big week he did last week, taking on that Niners defense on the road, I don't think it's going to pay off for him.
Also, I don't know if you've noticed, but talking about Marquise Brown playing Houston, I feel like every week we always say, oh, it's going to be a shootout if they're playing Houston or whatever game Houston is in. It's always a shootout. Now, are you saying that because you're kind of biased because you got the Houston connection over there? Or do they actually score that many points? Because I really haven't watched that much Texans.
I actually, now that I think about it, I haven't been saying that with my fantasy team in mind, but more just the fact that, like, Houston's defense hasn't been that good and they're without J.J. Watt, and it just kind of, like, I haven't seen anybody this year that's been able to slow Lamar Jackson down except for the Browns, but that was super early in the season. And Texans are coming off a bye, so they're going to be well rested, watching a lot of film or whatever. I don't know. Now that I see Houston and Baltimore, I just think shootout.
All right, fair enough. I got Pip.
All right, very good. On to our next matchup, which is Mike, who is 4-6, who's taking on myself. I'm also 4-6. That's Ndamukong Suez for Canal versus George Kittle Rock, Arkansas. Mike has now lost 4 in a row, losing to Pip last week despite getting 30 from Daniel Jones and Runs DMC, but was hampered by injuries to Devonta Freeman, and his leading wide receiver had just 9 points. I got my second win in as many weeks last week with 32 from TD Henry. My 49ers defense saved the day, and so did Kirk Cousins, magically enough. I've now won 2 games in a row with a 0 from Mercedes Valdez Scaffolding, who just has 1 more catch than all of us over the last month. He's really embarrassing. This week I get the return of my D-stack, Deshaun DeAndre DD, but I will be without Hooper, who will be out for some time as my leading tight end, which is quite sad. Mike is even looking even worse, as Devonta Freeman probably won't play. He literally doesn't have a starting quarterback on his roster as of right now, and is really going to have to be relying on Christian McCaffrey in that Patriots defense off of a bye. Are there any moves or any ideas here that you would give to Mike that would possibly make his team more competitive for this week?
Well, you know, I would never give my rival Mike advice like that. But, no, I'm not going to say it.
Fair
All
enough.
I'm going to say is I know the exact right move, the exact right players for Mike to pick up in order to beat you, and I'm not going to tell on this podcast because then he would know.
I like it.
But Freeman being out is tough. I'm glad I dropped Ito Smith at the exact right time.
I think Ito Smith.
Yeah, he's got to play Minshew probably because.
No, Ito Smith.
Jones is out.
Ito Smith is on. Yeah. Ito Smith is on IR, so he's done for the year. I think so. Even you dropping him at the right time, I think was still dropping him at the right time.
Yeah, I mean, I was mostly just joking. I should have dropped him like 5 weeks ago. But go Falcons.
Dirty Birds.
Stephon Diggs is kind of interesting. He could either go off or just be stinky Diggs. Tyler Boyd is on Cincinnati. What are you looking at on his team? What are you scared of?
I am slightly worried about Stinky Diggs being not so stinky. There's something about the Denver defense that I think they are better than their very bad team that they're kind of putting off. I would be worried about Boyd because he's getting a lot of targets and stuff, but he's got Ryan Finley throwing to him, and you know, I after starting Alex Erickson last week, I just have no faith in bungle receivers. I don't know. Like, Mo Sanu did have a good week, and he's got the extra week of practice figuring out what his team, what he's supposed to do in that offense. It's really just comes down to how big of a week is CMC going to have? How bad is the Philly offense helping out the Pats defense? And who is he going to pick up at quarterback? Because some of the options at quarterback are not very strong at this point. But there's still the possibility that he finds the right guy and somebody goes off or something like that. So it's not like I'm super worried. It basically just comes down to who he picks up at quarterback. And if he doesn't have, you know, even a halfway decent replacement for Devonta Freeman, that's just going to boost my chances that much more.
Yeah. Are you kind of sad Muhammad Sanu's on the Patriots now? Is that a sad thing for you?
That is kind of sad. I was I liked Mo Sanu, but I was never like a huge Sanu guy. I appreciated him as, you know, as a second option, and then last year as a third option. Like, he was super reliable, and it was, you know, just, it was really good to have him around on the team, and him going to the Patriots sucks, but they got a second round pick for him. And to get a second round pick for a guy who's on the last year of his contract and who is getting close to 30, I think that's quite the return. So I'll be okay with it.
Who you guys picking?
Like the Falcons with that pick?
Yeah. I assume you talked to Dimitrov the other week.
I wanted to, but he at halftime was hanging out with the other elites. Who was it? Oh, he's hanging out with Mike Mayock, and they were tucked away on their third tier of the Autzen press box, and they didn't want to talk with us journalist people.
Yeah, I remember the creepy picture you took.
It was quite creepy. I was actually... well, for everybody who doesn't know, which is, like I said, everybody, Squatch is next door, and he's working the Oregon basketball game. But I was talking with Squatch about that, and I was just, the entire game, I was flipping my head around looking for Dimitrov, and then I found him, and I was like, Jacob, I need you to kind of block me so I can take a creepy picture so that nobody else sees me taking this creepy picture. And that's, yeah, I ended up with a super blurry photo of a guy who had glasses on. You're like, I guess that's Thomas Dimitrov? I don't know.
Could just be some random guy.
basically. I almost walked up to, there's two like general like Atlanta Falcons scouts that were there that had Falcons polos on, and I wanted to be like, hey, what's up? I'm a Falcons fan. This is very rare to see people wearing Falcons stuff. What are you guys doing here? Who are you picking? Is the tank for Herbert on? That kind of stuff. But then I was like, I'm not like a fan in these situations. Like, I shouldn't act like a child because a guy is wearing like a Falcons t-shirt around me. Like, that's not how that works.
You're a grown man.
Ish.
But I will say this. I don't want you using Squatch's abnormally large size to take any more creepy pictures, okay? I don't want you to abuse his power.
Fair enough. I guess next time I'll walk up and I'll ask Mike Mayock to take my picture with Thomas Dimitrov.
There you go.
That's the power
there
move.
There you go. You feeling pretty good about that Singletary trade?
It worked out for me the first week that it went through, and I was pretty happy with it. I think it would have worked out well for me last week, too, if Josh Allen wasn't such a goal line touchdown snake. I think it added enough depth that I needed at running back. Of course, I made the move when I found out also that Ronald Jones was basically a starter for Tampa Bay. So I had the running back depth I was waiting for and really could have held on to John Brown a little bit because he's looking like a really solid target for in that Bills offense. But I'm really happy with the depth I have at running back now, especially because I'm still not quite sure if I can trust Damian Williams, but I'm gonna roll with it. It's exciting. It's fun to have somebody who's like talented and gets the ball a lot, and even though he's in a timeshare, he still gets a majority of the ball. So I think it's pretty beneficial for me. Plus a good matchup against Miami this week.
Yeah, I like it. I'm glad you finally decided to sit a crisis in the Mercedes Valdez Scantlings. That's unfortunate. He's had a tough couple of weeks. I know you mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, we as a whole have one more reception over the or one less reception than Mr. Scaffolding does over the last month.
Says you. You don't know how many receptions I have.
That's true. Sorry. It's one more reception than I do.
And may I congratulate you? You won this battle of Tampa Bay running backs. I conceded to you. I was holding out a lot of hope that Peyton Barber would end up with the role, but apparently not.
Yeah, that was I became very close many times to dropping Mr. Ron Jones because I was running out of guys to hold on to, and I needed to make a move and add somebody else, and ended up dropping other people that then became useful. All to hold on to a guy who, after 9 weeks of waiting, finally became a starter.
All that effort paid off.
Oh, finally.
About time. I think I got you in this one. I don't trust the waiver wire pickups for Mike enough. I don't think CMC and Diggs will be able to carry him. That is a nice matchup, Pats, with Philly, but I think you pull this one out.
Yeah, I agree as well. I think, yeah, the quarterbacks aren't great or maybe don't have the best matchups. The only thing that might worry me is, like, he picks up, like, Tom Brady and he goes all in on them or something like that, or goes, you know, full Patriot, and maybe that works out for him, but I also don't see him adding a valuable running back from the waiver wire in the time being. I don't know if he's got a trade in the works, but Mike also doesn't really make a lot of trades. So I quarterback aside, I think I win that matchup with Deshaun anyways. So yeah, I'm going to take myself here. I think I've got the better team this week. Plus, hopefully I won't have a zero in my lineup for the first time in a couple weeks as well.
Huge. Hey, you had 0.9 3 weeks ago. With Mercedes.
Oh my God. Yeah, 0.9 and then back-to-back weeks with two zeros. That's super exciting. All right, our last matchup on a Tuesday, pod going up on a Tuesday. Scott is 3-7. You're taking on Jared, who is 4-6. N'Keal Prairie versus Kurt Menefee. Scott, you are still stuck at the bottom, but you got a huge win last week and you're moving on up. Travis Kelce finally gets into the end zone, and Joe Mixon was a workhorse. And he survived what would have been just about the ultimate Plaxico by starting Derek Carr, who played on Thursday, and then watched Patrick Mahomes go off on Sunday. But you pulled even with Brandon at the bottom of the league table. Jared took an L last week to me. As we talked about, he was not very good. Jared Goff just scored 3. David Johnson had negative points. And Mark Andrews and Jarvis Landry combined for nearly half at 40 of his team total. Scott, you've got a full squad this week. Everybody's back from all of their buys, and we are seeing a lot of buys this week as well. And Jared is in another horrible spot with his running backs. He is sitting both David Johnson and Kenyon Drake. Scott, you've got an opportunity to get yourself out of the cellar, or at the very worst, throw another team into a wicked tiebreaker at the bottom. What's a big key for you in this matchup? What are you seeing?
I mean, I got Patty in there. I know there's a lot of talk about me starting Derek Carr over Patty, but it was a decision I made well in advance. No one knew Patrick was going to come back, besides maybe all you guys. But good to get Joe Mixon and Sony back and all in the mix, reunited. I'm feeling pretty good about this one. Cole Beasley, he's heating up in that Bills offense. He's been a solid 9 to 10 points the last few weeks. And I'm finally off the train of complaining about defenses since I found a good one. So,
when did you pick up the Bills defense? What made you realize that this was the sign you should have been a part of the Bills Mafia with their 3-9 and 3 points?
Yeah, that's a good point. I am kind of a big Bills fan now with Beasley and Bills defense. Not a sign, though. Still waiting for that sign.
Are you worried about Sony Michel? I know he's been very TD dependent a lot through this week. Pretty much the only times he gets into double digits is when he gets into the end zone. Are you worried about the usage rate of Patriots running backs or anything like that, or are you basically at this point just kind of like I'm stuck with what I've got?
Definitely that. I'm pretty much stuck with it. I mean, I have Jordan Howard. I could pop in there instead. But it's so late in the season, and I've kind of resigned myself to just playing for those last 3 weeks in the constipation bracket. So I like Sony's schedule then this season. I think he'll be reliable towards the end and just have to tread water until then.
Yeah, it's a very good point.
I don't really complain about the amount of points being scored against me now that I think I have the third most total, so both Tim and Mike have more points scored against me or going against their teams. So I can no longer claim that as my fall, I guess.
Yeah, that's very true. Mike has just about a 30-point advantage on you, and Timmy as well is pretty far down there in the points against category. But you are still, you literally by a half point, by a reception, got over the 1,000-point marker last week. So congratulations and welcome to the club.
Hell yeah, thanks. Good to be here. You see, another thing I don't get is if you had told me I was going to have 1,000 points by week 10, I said, okay, 100 points a week. I'll take that.
That's pretty solid, yeah.
But apparently not.
Oh, no, it's tough out here in the fantasy world. I'm also looking at the points scored, and I, being in 7th place, am actually the 6th highest scoring team, and even Mike, who's in 8th place, is still a higher scoring team than Duncan, who's in 3rd.
That's unfortunate.
That's really...
Duncan, he's pretty far down there.
It's pretty weird. Jared's...
Yeah, then,
no, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, go to you, please.
No, I forgot what I was going to say.
I was going to move to Jared's team. He's stuck in a bad spot with his running backs. He's not playing his first round pick. He's not playing Kenyon Drake, who is his backup. Both, it basically looks like Kenyon Drake's kind of the number one guy at this point. Like, what is Jared? I mean, obviously you probably don't want to give Jared the right advice, but if you were stuck in a situation where your first round pick wasn't very good and his backup was on your team was playing better, do you ride out both of them? Do you play none of them like he's doing? What's the play here? Because I'm sure Jared is very frustrated at what his running backs are doing.
Well, we all know I like Jared more than Mike. So I will give him this piece of advice. Just go with your heart. Know that no matter what happens, you're probably going to start the wrong guy. It's a tough situation. I mean, it's nice that he stashed Kenyon. I would probably go with Kenyon over Lindsay or Montgomery.
Yeah, I would. David Montgomery at this point, like, has basically just had, he had two really big weeks back to back. And I just, there's something about, I guess that game on Sunday night will be on the road, so it'll be in L.A., so I guess you're not necessarily running into any bear weather or anything like that, but he's just not striking a lot of confidence into me, and I don't know what you want to do with Adam Thielen and how that maybe changes. If, you know, Thielen doesn't play, then you would move Landry up, and maybe you would just want to move Landry out of your flex anyways to have some flexibility in your roster, but it seems really weird to me at this point that he's just like, I'm out on David Johnson, even though I've got his backup, but I'm also out on his backup. And Jared's already talked about, he doesn't like playing his two Broncos, and then he doesn't want to play the two running backs on the same team, which is turning into more of a pass happy team. This is a very strange situation.
It is Tuesday though. You have to remember that there's a lot of, week ago.
That is true.
He's got a lot of time to make these decisions, which obviously will not matter because, like I said, he's had just poor luck with Lindsay, and no matter who he starts, he's had a couple weeks, I guess, where they kind of hit. My only advice to him is invent a time machine, go back, and don't trade away Dalvin.
That's an interesting question. Do you think he would not trade away Dalvin, or he would not draft David Johnson?
I think having Dalvin and David Johnson is a situation. Well, where did he pick?
He picked fourth overall, I believe.
That's tough. That's an interesting.
Sorry, sixth overall.
Rick.
He picks.
Could redo that draft. I guess that's probably what he want to do. But Dalvin, I would take Dalvin now. One Dalvin in the hand is worth two in the bush. Is that how that saying goes?
Yes, I believe so. All right. And I guess, it's just a tightly projected matchup as well, but it is only Tuesday. If I'm Jared, I'm also worried about how healthy Adam Thielen's going to be if he ever comes back, because he basically hasn't played in 3 weeks, so that could be interesting. There's a lot of question marks on both of these teams, and they're kind of all not playing all that well. I don't think Jared's on any big losing streak or anything, but I think he's lost a couple in a row, and it's just kind of frustrating because I know Jared, like, not that nobody cares, he doesn't care like anymore, but he does put a lot of time and effort into this, and then his team is just kind of like turning out like poop, and it's just got to be frustrated. And he's taking on your team, which has been one of the least productive all year, which just got its healthiest, best players back. Going off together with a Monday night matchup against his team that he hates, that he wants to see lose, but it would also mean his fantasy team losing, which he doesn't want to have happen. So Jared's just in a world of hurt.
I guess, but I wouldn't say his team is poop. Excuse me. He's one game out of the playoffs.
It's true. Yeah, I know.
Also one game out of the cellar. So, take it or leave it.
Yeah, the standings, quite the one, two,
wacky.
Yeah, four teams at 4-6, that are all one game out of dead last, and you have another matchup coming up as well between Tim and Brandon, who are dead level in the bottom half of or in the cellar playing each other. Mike and I are just above the cellar playing each other, so you just there's just going to be a whole bunch of jockeying around down there.
Mm-hmm. Getting real dirty down here in the cellar. Out of those 4-6 teams, who do you like to make playoffs?
Oh, boy. I'm starting to like my own team a little bit more, but I am hoping that at the very worst, I'm seventh, just because if I get stuck in like the 9-10 matchup where you're not technically safe and, you know, the constipation game is just one loss away kind of thing, I would like it so that if I get into the playoffs, I'd have to lose two straight games to end up in that as opposed to just, you know, winning a game and losing and be right back in. So I want my team to kind of be where I'm at, if not a little bit closer, but I don't know if I think I'm a little bit better than Mike's team. And I don't know how much better I am than Jordan's team, just because he's got the death squad that may or may not ever come together. But I also don't have any reliable wide receivers, and I just lost the number one tight end in fantasy as well, so it's not looking too good. So it may be Jordan that gets in, because he's already in as well.
Yeah, I like Jordan's team out of those four, no offense.
No, it's fine. My team's it's not great, and it took, you know, a random two-game winning streak against, you know, Pip, who's the second best team, and then I beat, you know, Jared to kind of pull myself level. So it's all very weird. I don't think my team is all that strong.
Mm. Well, that means you'll win, because usually when you go down on your team, you win.
And all the way until the end, when I start to get positive again, then it goes south very quickly.
Exactly.
What is your feel on this game? Are you going to take yourself to get the win to throw Jared down into the cellar with you, or what is your ultimate game plan here?
Look, Rick, we're hot right now. We're rolling. We get another one this week, I think. Yeah, Mahomes back in. Both my running backs, who could be just absolute garbage or go off, I'll pick me.
I am also going to pick you, and I think that makes us going 3-for-3 for agreeing on our picks. I just think that as the week goes on, I think Jared is I think he's going to overcomplicate what he has to do with his lineup. Jarvis has got a really tough matchup against Pittsburgh, and that may potentially lock up his flex. He's got a high plaques possibility. And meanwhile, I think you've got the advantage with Mahomes playing in primetime, is going to want to have a big game, and I think he could have a very big game. So in a shocker, I'm going to pick your team to win here, despite being the 5-point dog.
Yeah. Interesting theory there. Patrick Mahomes wants to have a big game, so he will.
Yeah, it's a hot take. It's why I work in sports radio. All right, so that does it for the matchup previews that we have, which means it's time for segments. So, Scott, what segments would you like to start off with?
Well, it's a tough segment because I know they've been pretty open, at least Luke has been pretty open about how lucky his team. But I have a yeah, dude. You going to play it?
We're getting there. Computer's slow.
Yeah, dude.
Thank you. Well, I can't complain about my team not being the getting the most points scored against it, so I'll just complain about Luke and Pitt being at the top of the standings, being both 1 and 2 in points for and least amount of points scored against. So, kind of a caveat on the yeah, dude, but that's what I got.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, that was kind of what we talked about with Luke last week as well. Like, you can only do so much when nobody's – scoring against you, and like, yeah, if the schedules were different or whatever, but it's all just randomized, plus the draft on top of it is super randomized. So but yeah, being top two in the standings and points for, and then I guess the bottom two for points against is a little weird. Coincidence?
I think not.
Yeah, dude.
Do you have anything else?
Do you have anything?
I don't have any segments. I think I'm going to save them for Thursday. I didn't quite come up with digging through the rosters or coming up with anything, so I'm segmented out.
All right, well, I do have one more thing. It's getting pretty late in the season, and everyone's making that final push for the playoffs, or out of the cellar, you could say, in my case. N'Keal Prairie is 2-0 in the last 2 weeks. You say we're on a bit of a winning streak. And I saw Coach O give some good pump-up speeches. Pump-up speeches, that's what they call them. Pump-up speeches this past weekend. So I'm kind of in the mood. Was doing a little bit of research on some good pump-up speeches, essentially. Are you familiar with the movie Any Given Sunday?
I have heard of it, but I don't think I've ever actually seen it.
All right, so we're going to do a little bit of a reading from Any Given Sunday. And I think I've sent you the document. You've received it.
Let me pull up my phone. Yes, I have the reading here.
All right, so what you're going to do is we're going to go alternate paragraphs. You're going to do the first one, I'll do the second. You'll do the third, I'll do the fourth. Close it out.
Okay.
Now, let me set the scene for you. It's Coach Al Pacino addressing his team during the Genesis halftime show. They're down big. It's a meaningless game, but he's still got to get pumped up. Look, Miami Sharks, they're playing for pride out here, okay?
All right.
All right, you kind of got it. And I have a little clip from the speech. Give you a feeling for Al Pacino's voice so you can kind of like, well, you give your own take on it, but I'll play it right now. You ready?
All right.
The inches we need are everywhere around us.
You got it?
Okay. The inches we need are everywhere around us. That didn't sound
very
good.
So you're starting on.
Okay.
One on this team.
On this team, we fight for that inch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone around us to pieces for that inch. We claw with our fingernails for that inch. Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's going to make the fucking difference between winning and losing, between living and dying.
I'll tell you this. In any fight, it is the guy who's willing to die, who's willing to win that inch. And I know if I'm going to have any life anymore, it is because I am still willing to fight and die for that inch. Because that is what living is. That 4 inches, that 6 inches in front of your face.
Now I can't make you do it. You got to look at the guy next to you. Look into his eyes. Now I think you're going to see a guy who will go that inch for you. You're gonna see a guy who will sacrifice himself for this team. Because he knows when it comes down to it, you are going to do the same thing for him.
That's a team, gentlemen. And either we heal now as a team, or we will die as individual fantasy football owners in the cellar eye. That's football, guys. That's fantasy football. That's all it is. Now what you gonna do?
Wow, good, great. That was really good stuff. Wow, thank you. No, thank you, Scott. That was I think you put in a better performance than I did. My accent might have changed two or three different times.
Oh, I definitely fluctuated. All right. Well, thank you, Rick. Thanks for getting up on a Tuesday.
Yeah. Wow. That was that's an inspiration. That's a great way to end the pod, man. That was inspirational stuff. I'm very excited that I'm fired up. I'm ready to go post this pod, man.
Yeah. If that doesn't get you excited to watch football all day on Sunday, I don't know what to tell you.
Probably don't watch football. Go for a walk, weirdo. Yeah.
Mike. All right, Rick.
Thank you, Scott, for coming on the pod on a Tuesday and being flexible with my schedule because the other studios were all filled up. Thank you to everyone for listening. We know it's a weird Tuesday pod, but it's fine. You'll get over it. Thanks to you again, Scott. Best of luck to you in your matchup this week.
You as well, sir. Bye.
Follow the podcast on Twitter at SemiProDuxPod. Do your part to get this oddly specific podcast Twitter account to over 50 followers. Then follow the link to our iTunes page where you can subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, give a 5-star rating and review. Subscribe, rate, review. We'll be right back.